And Dalit Amid Aleph on the base, Nigbara has a famous sugya which presents the Machloikas HaTanan, whether you say Yashem LaMikro or Yashem LaMasor. What are the differences, Halacha LaMaisa, between Yashem LaMikro and Yashem LaMasor? So one difference that the Gemara brings out is where the Revi is Dam Habo Mishnei Mesim is Mitame Yanat. We know that a Mes is Mitame, the Magam Amasaba Ohel, a Mes Adam. It's mitame the magen masa boil. If you have enough of the mace, hakazai is basam and ames. It's mitame the magen masa boil. What about dam and ames? So the Gemara learns that from the pesukim, nafshes mace. I call nafshes mace lo yovoi. Nafshes mace is an allusion to the dam that's needed to keep the person alive. The tiniest baby that can survive will require a revi'ah dam. That's the shiur that the Chachamim gave. So nafshes meis refers to the dam in ames. Not only is the kezayis basam in ames metame b'magam emasa ba'oel, a revi'ah dam in ames is also metame b'magam emasa ba'oel. If they donate blood for the Red Cross, that's revi'ah dam habom in achai. Dam in achai is not metame at all. That's not a problem. But if the dam comes out min ames, that's mitame. If you bludgeon a person to death and he's bleeding while he's alive and while he's dead, and you have a taruvis of dam and achai mixed in with dam and ames, and you don't know whether you have a revi'ah dam habam and ames, that's a sugi in the end of nida, in the end of nazir, that's called dam tevusa. If a person was bludgeoned to death and all the blood is a whole puddle of blood and it's all mixed in together, that's dam tevusa. So if you have dam and ames, it's mitame. What if you have dam habam mishnei mesim? What if the dam is boa mishnei mason? So that, the Gemara says, depends on the machlokes hatanoim, whether yeshem la mikro or yeshem la masor. Because the pasuk that says, al kol nafshas meis la yavoi, is written choser, nafshas. But the tradition has it that you pronounce it, the correct reading is al kol nafshos meis. So if you follow, if halacha lemaisa, you follow the kriya, yeshem la mikro, then it's called nafshos meis lo yovo is shtei nefashos v'shir echad. So the revi'ahs can be a composite, a chatzi revi'ahs from one meis and a chatzi revi'ahs from another meis. But if you follow the ksiv and you don't follow the kri, if you follow yeshem la masoris, you follow the masoretic text and in the ksiv it's written chasavav, so then we should insist, that's how we paskin, nafshas ksiv, that it's only revi'ahs dam habam mimeis echos. Not like Rabbi Akiva, who follows the kriya, that even revi'ahs dam habam mishnei meisim is also mitame. So Tosfos is bothered with a famous kasha they have in a few mesichtos. They work on this kasha, where it says, Shabbos daf ayin zayin v'shom, and menachos daf kuf daled v'shom, and the me'ila daf yud zayin v'shom, and psachim daf chabes v'shom. Every mesichta where the topic comes up, so Tosfos has a discussion. This is the fifth mesichta. The five mesichtas, Tosfos discusses the same topic. Once you have a pasuk that says revi'ahs dam and ames is metame, why do you need to stand on your head to have a yalfusa to teach you that revi'ahs dam habam mishnei mesim is mitzaref yachad and it's metame? Why should there be a machlekes satanoim that depends on darshan and psukim? Whether you say Hashem Lamiki, Hashem Lamasas, why not just apply the standard rule? Let's say in order to get Malkus, there's a Machlekes Hatanoim. How much ham do you have to eat? The proverbial ham and egg. So how much ham do you have to eat in order to get Malkus? So Reb Shimon says, Kol Shehu LaMalkus. If you eat a Mashehu, you like it. We don't pass them like Reb Shimon, but we hold a Chatzi Shir is Asr, but you're not like it. So how much ham do you have to eat in order to get Malkus? You have to eat a kezayis. What if you don't eat a kezayis from one pig? You eat a half a kezayis from one pig and a half a kezayis from another pig. Or let's say you eat a third of a kezayis of pork from a pig, a third of a kezayis of horse meat, and a third of a kezayis of donkey meat. So it's all the same thing. It's all mitzaref yachad. You don't need any psukim to tell you. It's governed by the klal in the Mishnah in the Ila. We pointed out there's a misprint in Tosfos. It says Vachem Daf Yud Zayin. It's supposed to be Meila Daf Yud Zayin. The Mishnah Meila Perkach Mizbeach says that Kol Shishireim Shavim Mishmasim Shavim. Let's say Nevela. Nevela Also, Reb Shimon says if you eat a mashuhu, a chatzi shir, chatzi shir is lav davka chatzi shir. Less than a chatzi shir is also a chatzi shir. Chatzi shir means less than a kishir. Some people make a mistake. They think chatzi shir means a chatzi zayis amur. Less than a chatzi is also called chatzi shir. Mashuhu is a chatzi shir. So Reb Shimon's opinion is that if you eat kol shuhu, you get malchus. And we don't pass on like Reb Shimon. We hold that you have to have a kazayis in order to get malchus. So kazayis of nevela gets malchus doesn't have to be from one behemah, one nevela. A third of the kazayis from one behemah. Let's say chicken, never had a shchita. So you have a third of the kazayis of a dead chicken that never had a shchita. Then you have a third of the kazayis of cow's meat that never had a shchita. Then you have a third of the kazayis of goat, a third of the kazayis of duck, whatever, that never had a shchita. It's all mitzvah from yachad. It's all shem yachad. It's all shmashem shav, mishirem shavim. It's mitzvah from zem zeh to the exclusion of, if you have, let's say, a half a kazayis of chaylev, and a half a kazayis of pork, so the different isurim, chaylev is kares and pork is not kares. It's not the same thing. Lapuki, let's say if you have a half a kazayis of pork and a half a kazayis of nevela from cow's meat, nevela is an isur nevela and pork is an isur pork. They're two different isurim. They have no shaychus with each other. This is behemet meya, and this is nevelas behemet torah. But if you have shmasem shavim and shirem shavim, then the rule is that mitzvah. So that's the kasha. So what's the problem over here? What do I have to come with the heavy artillery? But all machlokes is yeshem lamikra, yeshem lamasoros. All right, you need a discussion yeshem lamikra, yeshem lamasoros. If you bring up a new topic that you never heard of before, how many defanas do you need for sukkah? You have no rules. How to decide? But here we have the rules already. Once you have a pasuk that says revi is dam and ameis is metamei, then the Mishnah Mila takes over. If it's Shmasem Shavim, Mishirem Shavim, it's Mitztar from Zem Zeh. So why shouldn't it be Mitztar from Mishnei Mason? What do you need Psukim for? So Taisus comes up with a suggestion, Anachanami, Taka don't need a Pasuk. Based on the standard rule, the Mishnah Mila I would have said on my own, like Rabbi Akiva, that Shmasem Shavim, Mishirem Shavim, it is Mitztar from. And the Chachamim are the ones who need a Pasuk to say against the rule. The burden of proof is on the Chachamim, not on Rabbi Akiva. The Tana Rabbi Akiva, who says that Revi is Dam, Abba Mishnei Meisim, is Mitarfim, he's right without any psukim. He doesn't need any proof. He bases his klal on the Mishnah Me'ilush, Mashem Shavim, Shirem Shavim, is Mitarfim. The burden of proof is on the Chachamim who disagree with Rabbi Akiva, and their proof is because they hold Yeshem Lamasoris. They follow the Ksiv, and the Ksiv is Nafshas. Aye, so how does Rabbi Akiva apply the rule? Aye, but the Pasuk says Nafshas. See all the Yeshem LaMikra. But it's not that Rabbi Akiva needs the Yeshem LaMikra to establish his rule. His rule he knows from the Mishnah Mila. Shmasem Shavim, Shirem Shavim, is Mitzvah. The Rabbanan need a drasha to say why the rule shouldn't apply. And then Rabbi Akiva knocks down the drasha because he happens to hold that that's not true. He doesn't subscribe to Yeshem LaMasoris. He holds the Yeshem LaMikra. That's what Tosfos says. But that's not the simple reading of the Gemara. The Pashup Shat in the Gemara is that Rabbi Akiva's, the one who came up with the Einfall, with the big Chiddush, that Revi is Dam, Abba Mishnei Meisim, is Mitztarfin, based on his Pasuk, that Yeshem LaMikro. So that's Tosfos' question, how can it be? What does he need a Pasuk for? Isn't that the Klal? That Shmaseim Shavim is Mitztarfin. So in this Tosfos' Kasha, there's a beautiful explanation that's offered by many svarim. Everybody says the same mahalach. The Stipler, who is the brother of the Chazanish, writes it independently of the Chazanish. Chazanish writes the answer, and the Stipler writes the answer. Each one independently of the other. The Migdash David writes the answer, and he doesn't quote that anybody else said it. And Gershon Henech, the Radzina Rebbe, who wrote the Sidri Taris, he wrote a commentary of the Talmud on the Mishnayos and Taris. He didn't invent any Talmud. He just collected all the Gemaras all over Shas where they explained Mishnayos, and he put them in the order of the Mishnayos and Sefer Taras. So he wrote a commentary on the side. So in his Sefer on Sidrei Tara, so he writes the same answer, and several other Gedolim write the same answer as well. That there are two types. The Ragachava has the same answer. I'll use the terminology of the Ragachava. Ragachava, the Tzofnis Panef, just died before the Second World War. He learned the same time as Rav Chaim. They both learned by the Beis Halevi. A lot of times they write the same thing, and a lot of times they write totally different. because he was more, he was so much into the Rambam, so he felt that everything the Rambam had. He liked all the Martin Nebuchadnezzars and all the Pirush HaMishnayos and all the Rambam, everything. He was crazy about the Rambam, the Ragachev. So his whole world revolved about the Rambam. And Rav Chaim was not so one-man show, Rambam. Chaim helped from Taisus also. Rashi, Taisus, Rashbo. The world doesn't begin and end with the Rambam. People make a mistake. They think Rav Chaim always concentrates on the Rambam. He wrote his sefer was written on the Rambam, on the Seder of the Rambam. But he doesn't know. A lot of times he explains the Rambam. A lot of times he explains Rashi and Taisus. He doesn't only explain the Rambam, he explains Gemaras. The Ragachover's world revolved about the Rambam only. That was his thing. So the Ragachover coined two terms to distinguish between two types of shiurim. Just to give a little more background, there is a machlokes in the Gemara. We pass in against Rav Shimon that in order to get malchus, you have to eat a kazayis. But a chotzi shiur, what if you eat less than a kazayis? It's forbidden. It's also. Is that an isa derais or is that an isa derabon? So we pass in a chotzi shiur as awesome in a Torah. To eat a chatzi shir is an isa derais. Machlokes abechan v'shlokish in the beginning of the last parak in Yume, and the din is like Rabbi Yechanan, the chatzi shir constitutes an isa derais. So the Meiri in the beginning of Masechet Shabbos has a famous kash. He asks, the din is that on Shabbos you're not permitted to carry galon amos in the Rishus Haram. You make an akira and you carry something, you put it down on Hanoch after galon amos, that's a malacha derais. What if you pick something up and you carry it three amos and you put it down? That's hefta gomer. That's mutam and atara and mutam and derabonim. Hetagomer, there's no prohibition whatsoever. What's forbidden with the Rabbanon is to carry pachas midalad amas. A guy picks something up and he carries it, he puts it down three amas away. Then a second later he picks it up and he puts it down three amas away. So the end result is that he made an akira here and he made a hanocha six amas away, which is an isa deraisa, but he did a trick. He made a hanocha in the middle. So because of the hanocha in the middle, that makes it that it's mutter. So that's the Rabbanon asa. That's called Pachas midalad amas. He carries three amas, then he carries three amas, and he puts it down. But if he only carries three amas, that's mutam and atara mutam and rabbanon. That's hetagomer. There isn't even nisa derabbanon. So the Miri is bothered with the kasha. Why shouldn't I apply the rule of chatzi shir asam and atara? The shir sholem is dalad amas, so let base amas be a chatzi shir of dalad amas. So the Miri answers, since Shabbos dav gimla menalam. So the Miri answers, That's a chatzi malocha. That's not a chatzi shir. Chatzi shir would be, the Mishnayos have in Masechet Shabbos, how much water do you have to carry? How much wine do you have to carry? How much metal, iron do you have to carry? How much paper do you have to carry? How much wood do you have to carry? Each material has a different shir. How much of it do you have to carry? It has to have some significance. If you carry dalad amas, a piece of paper less than the shear, that would be chatzi shear asman atar. But if you carry something two amas, 2.5 amas, 3.5 amas, that's a chatzi malocha, that's not called a chatzi shear. So to say the same thing in other words, that answer that the Miri gave, to say the same thing as the Miri, in other words, the Ragachover didn't hold from any Miri, he only holds from the Rama. So he gave the same answer, but in different words. So he coins terms, he says there's a shear nekuda and there's a shear mitztaref. Sometimes the shear is that up until a certain point you have nothing. Once you reach that shear, then the thing emerges, whatever it is that you're trying to construct. Then the thing emerges. It's not called hoitzur, it's not called mabir dalad amas b'shusaram. It's not called ha'avarah. If you carry less than dalad amas, it doesn't even get off the ground. And sometimes, no, it got off the ground. Let's say I carry a little bit of sugar. You have to carry so much sugar in order to be called a hoitzor. So let's say he havara. So let's say he carries half of a spoonful of sugar. It's not enough for anything. He carries a dalam. Then he carries another little bit. Then he carries another little bit. Then he carries another little bit. So the Mishnah says, if at the end of the day of Shabbos he carried enough, so it's all mitzvah yachad. It all combines together. The little bit that he carried before, that was a chatzi shir. And the little bit that he carried later is another little bit, till it's mitzvah, and you have the full kashir. So that's a shir mitztaref. And sometimes you have a shir nekuda. If you carry less than dalad amos, that's not called mavir. Havara b'shusarabim is an isa. That's called metaltel or something, moving. Mavir, by definition, requires dalad amos. Up until the point of a dalad amos, you don't even have a chatzi shir of havara. So those are the expressions that he coined. He says there's a shir mitztaref and there's a shir nekuda. The only time it makes sense to say chatzi shir asman atar is when you're talking about a shir mitztaref. If you eat less than a kezayis, the chazer is chazer, and the nevela is nevela, and the chelev is chelev. The only thing is, you didn't eat enough of it, you have to eat a little more. So that's the din of chatzi shir osamenatar. But if you're dealing with the shir nekuda, so what you mean to say is that until you reach a certain point, you have nothing. You didn't even get off the ground. We mentioned that, I think what we learned originally was before Yom Kippur. So we gave another marshal. On Yom Kippur, there's an Isra Achila Shtiyah. That's clearly menatar, and the punishment is kares. And if a person eats on Yom Kippur b'shogeg, he has to bring a korban chatos. But the other prohibitions of wearing shoes and bathing and so on, those don't have kares. Gemara learns that from Sukkim that those don't have kares. So when you learn that from the Sukkim that there's no kares, does that mean it's an Isra Deraisa without kares? Or does it mean no? If there's no kares, it means it's only midirabbanan. How can you have inisim esnaf shesechem chamisha inuyim san achilu shtiyo? There's kares, and the other four inuyim there's no kares. It's the same pasuk. Either there is kares or there's no kares. The Rabbeinu Tam says that what the Gemara meant to say was that the other four inuyim are only midirabbanan. The only one that's also menatar is achilu shtiyo. And the Rambam sounds very much like he doesn't agree with the Rabbeinu Tam. The Rambam is kemat explicit that he holds all the chamisha inuyim are forbidden menatar, and this has kares, and the others don't have kares. So the Tosfos Yishonim and the Ran on the first daf and the last parak in Yuma all discuss this topic, whether the other inuyim are the Raisa the Rabban. So the Mishnayos have kulas that the Melech is allowed to wash his face on Yom Kippur, and a Kala just got married is allowed to wash her face on Yom Kippur. It says in Shulchan Aruch that Bizman Hazeh we don't permit it, because Bizman HaGemara, the husbands and the wife used to spend a lot of time together on Yom Kippur. Everybody's davening in shul all day. The chazanim and the rabbanim, they're speaking and making appeals and darshaning all day. So you never see your kala anyway. So what should she wash her face for? The hetter to wash the face is in order that the husband should remember what she's supposed to look like. But if he's not going to see her anyway, on Yom Kippur, so she doesn't have any hetter to wash her face. So the Rishonim asked, how do they give such a hetter to wash your face on Yom Kippur? The melech is mutter and the kala is mutter and your lettuce. Oh yeah, achaya, or your lettuce is allowed to wear shoes. What's the sakana? What's the suffix sakana? Your lettuce is not going to wear shoes. She's going to drop dead. Your lettuce can wear sneakers. She can walk barefoot also. She can wear socks. What's the problem? What does she need the shoes for? So it would appear from the Gemara as if these things are only midirabbanan. Why are you so lenient on these things? So that's a kasha in the Rambam. How can the Rambam hold that all the chamisha inuyim are their right if you have such flimsy heterim? Doesn't sound like they're only midirabbanan, so they had the right to be made. So the Tosfos Yishonim is working out yeshuvim, is working out terutzim on these kashas. So part of his suggestion is the following. Yes, rechitza is an isa deraisa, that's rechitza's kolagul, to take a bath or a shower, that's an isa deraisa. But just to wash one limb, to wash the face, that would only be an isa derabbanan. Difference between rechitza's kolagul from rechitza's sefer echa. So the Achronim ask Akasha on the Tosfos Yishonim, Gival, if Rechitza's Kol Aguf is an Issa Deraisa, so let's Rechitza's Haponim be a Chatzis Shir, also in a Torah. It's a Chatzis Shir, Rechitza's Kol Aguf. The latest Svarim give a Teretz, and they say, no. If a guy washes his face, he say, oh, he took a half a shower. And Lashem Eliyadim, it doesn't make sense. What do you mean? A shower, by definition, means Kol Aguf. Sometimes a guy takes a shower and the pinky didn't get wet. Okay, that may happen. Not every inch, if it's a fast shower, he doesn't have time. If he's singing away under the showers, it's going to take a long time, so every part of the surface of his body is going to get wet. If he doesn't have time to take a long shower, it takes a very short shower, so it's possible that part of his body will not get wet. But by definition, a shower means v'chitzas kol aguf, ruba kukula, roi vaguf. But if you just wash the face alone, you say that's a chatzis shir of a shower. No, Lashem Eliyadim, it's not. So that's the voice. Since Rechitza's Kol Aguf is a shir nekude, until the point of Rov Aguf, it's not called a shower. It's not called a bath. So you can't apply the klal chatzis shir asam and atarah with it. That's the suggestion. There are many examples like that. That you're dealing with a shir nekude, not a shir mitzarev, so you can't apply the klal chatzis shir asam and atarah. So all of these achrenim, they all say the same thing. The Chazanish with his brother-in-law, the stifler, with the Migdash David, and with the Chassidish Rebbe of Gershon Henoch, the Radzina Rebbe, and the Ragachava, they all say the same teretz. And the Ragachava says it in his language. He says, this din of Revi is dam habom in ames. Where did they conjure up the Shir Revi'is? The answer is, Revi'is, they established, is the smallest amount of dam that you need for the tiniest baby to survive. an adult needs more than a revius. A big fat person has a lot of he needs a lot of blood to run around all that track over there. But a teeny weeny baby doesn't need so much blood as an adult needs. So the smallest baby that you want to survive needs the revius done. So that's how they established the shear of nefesh. Akol nafshis meisla. That's the shear of nefesh. So the shear of nefesh, revius dam, that's a shear in the kuda. If you have a revius dam, then it's called nefesh. That's enough to keep the baby alive. That's enough to keep a person alive. You have less than a shear, that's not a shear mitztarek. Oh, it's enough to keep him alive a little bit. No, he's not going to stay alive. He's not going to survive. That's a shear in the kuda. It's not a shear mitztarek. So when does the Mishnah in Me'ila, Daf Yud Zayin, apply? When does the rule in the Mishnah apply? The kosher shirem shavim, ushmasem shavim, I'm mitztarfim. If you're dealing with a shir mitztarif, you have chazer. You have a little chazer over here. And then you have horse meat. And then you have donkey's meat. So it's all behemoth meyer. This is behemoth meyer. That's behemoth meyer. The Allah requires a shir in order to get malchus. Chatzis shir is also in our Torah, but Reb Shimon holds to get malchus on the chatzis shir. We don't hold like that. We hold it in Issa deraisa, but there's no malchus. So you have to add a little more. So if you have a third of the kezias from the horse meat, and a third of kezias from the donkey meat, and a third of the kezias from the pig, from the pork, so it's all mitzvah from the eight of kezias, so behemoth tamea. That's when you can apply, when it's a shir mitzvah, then you can say you can be mitzvah from three different places. Shmeshem shav, shirem shav. But over here, we're dealing with nefesh, so what do you mean? If I have a chatzi revius from one mace and a chatzi revius from another mace, I don't have a nefesh, I don't have dam that kept alive any human being. A revius from Reuven kept Reuven alive. A revius from Shimon can keep Shimon alive. I have a chatzi revius from Reuven, chatzi revius from Shimon, so I don't have a nefesh of Reuven, I don't have a nefesh of Shimon. You can't put together a half a nefesh from one and a half a nefesh from another. That's like a shi and the kuda, doesn't make sense. So that's why the burden of proof is really on Rabbi Akiva. He has to quote a pasuk. They all say the same thing. All of these achrenim, they all say v'haraya l'davar, that the shi revius dam habo min ameis is a shi and the kuda. It's not a shi and mitzarf, to use the language of the Ragachova of the Tzafnus Paneh. So they all quote the Ravid. The Ravid comments on the Rambam. Rambam writes like this. Let's say you have kezayis basar min ameis is mitami ba'ohel. What if the kezayis basar is not all together? It's not one piece of meat. Let's say there's a third of the kezayis in this room, a third of the kezayis in the hallway, a third of the kezayis in the beis medrash down the hall, and all the doors are open. So anyone who walks on this floor is mahil, is in contact through ohel, via ohel, with a full kezayis min ameis. But the kezayis is scattered about in three different rooms. One is in this room. They hid the kezayis. So a third of the kezayis is hidden in one place, a third of the kezayis in a different place, a third of the kezayis in a third place, and all the doors are open. It's the same room. So the din is that's mitztarif. The Rambam quotes Mishnah is that's mitztarif. So the Ravid says that's very nice. It's mitztarif, but by dam it wouldn't work. Revius dam has to be all the makam echod. He says because you have to call it nefesh. If you have less than a revius, you have a third of a revius here, and a third of a revius there, a third of a revius there. This is not a nefesh, that's not a nefesh, that's not a nefesh. You can't add it together. He says that it's a shir nekuda. That's what the Ravid sounds like he's saying. It's a shir nekuda. It's not a shir mitztarif that you're going to say if sacha kol in some total you have a full revius dam in the ohel, it's all mitztarif. So that's why the achrenim all say that's why Rabbi Akiva doesn't make any sense. He can't say mitzara svara that the klal and the mishnah should apply. That kol shishmasem shavim sherem shavim mitztarfim. So achat revius dam in meisach and achat revius dam from another meis will be mitztarfim. No, even if it would have been from the same meis, but if it's in two different places, it can't be mitztarf. So what does it help if I take achat revius from one meis, achat revius from another, I put it together in one bottle, and it's in one container? But it's not a nefesh of Reuven, it's not a nefesh of Shimon. So the burden of proof really is Rabbi Akiva. He has to come up with a pasuk that teaches you that you can be mitzar from two meis. So that's why the simple reading of the Gemara. That's where the Gemara says yes. And the Kiva has a drasha of Yeshem la Mikra.
Why is shir nefesh? Why is shir nefesh different for Kitami for basar as opposed to dam?
Basar is not based on nefesh. A meis has tumah. Even less than a kezayis has tumah. The only thing is that it's not mitami. It doesn't transmit the tumah. You have to have a kezayis in order to be able to transmit.
Likely that shear is also for dam.
No, because dam. How do I know that dam min ha-meis is metamei ruah? Because I call it nefesh. Nefesh means you need that much amount of blood circulating in the circulatory system in the tiniest baby that baby should survive. So hasvar nosenes has to be a revias b'makam echad from one person, from one body, from two different people. So it's not his nefesh and it's not his nefesh. Nobody's nefesh. So that's what Rabbi Akiva needed a pasuk. That's what all of these, all the achrayim, all pechah, they all came up with the same answer. That there's a shir nekuda and a shir mitztaref, and it's an afkamina for chatzis shir asman atayra, and an afkamina for this shir em shavim amitztaref, only if it's a shir mitztaref. So then you can be mitztaref, but if it's a shir nekuda, it really doesn't make sense to say that you can be mitztaref. This was one theme of the Tosfos. Then Tosfos has another theme, which is relevant. This was also relevant halacha l'maisa, bathing on Yom Kippur. Yeah. Then Tosfos has another thing which is relevant halacha l'maisa, whether dam bichlal basar, dam is not bichlal basar. Tosfos quotes a machlokes with Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, whether dam nevela is metame. Dam in ameis, we call when a human body is dead, that's called ameis metame ba'ohel, and dam in ameis is metame. If an animal drops dead, a cow drops dead, that's called nevela. You could have called that mace, and you could have called this nevela. The same thing. But just in order to distinguish, because the dinim are not the same, you only need paraduma with hazosh lishi shvi. If he came in contact with a mace odam, and he come in contact with a mace odam, you come for 7 days. It's a different story. So just in order to make things easier to carry on a halachic conversation, so if it's a human being who's dead, we call him a mace, and if it's an animal that's dead, that didn't have a shechita, that had a shechita, it's not metame. If it died a natural death, or they shot it to get death, they didn't shecht it properly, or they got a shechet, and they said a bracha, and he made a nevela, he didn't do a good job, so then it's metame ke nevela, so that's called a nevela, and this is called a mace. So there's a machlekes hatanayim, the psukim echumish only say that bisar ha-mace is metame, and besar nevela is metame. Doesn't say what about dam and ameis. Doesn't say what about dam and nevela. So dam and ameis, they read in between the lines. Akol nafshes meis goes at dam and ameis. The revius dam and ameis is metame. What about revius dam min hanevela? If an animal dies a natural death, so besar hanevela is metame. Kazayis is metame b'maga b'masa. It's not metame b'ohav. Only meis adam is metame b'ohav. Nivlos fame is only metame maga b'masa. So the shaila is, what about dam min hanevela? Is that mitame b'magum b'masana? So that's the machlekes b'sham and b'sil. So the question is, where is the pasuk? By odam, by revi is dam min ha'odam from a meis adam. You have a pasuk nafshos. Nefesh means dam sha nefesh, the dam that keeps nefesh going. B'shir ha'chachamim, that in the tiniest baby, you need at least you need a revi is dam. Where is there a pasuk for nevela? So Tosfos does not. So first Tosfos assumes. The first 20, first 10 lines in Tosfos are assuming it must be that dam is included in basar. Whenever there's a din of basar, so dam is the liquid form of the basar, dam bechal basar. Finally, Tosfos comes to the end. They come to the miu kasha, the beperik kol shom sochem daf kabeis. They have enough in the gemara that dam is not bechal basar. That the isa nevela, isa achila nevela, only applies to bisar nevela. And there is no Isser if you drink the dam of an Avela, there's an Isser dam, but there won't be an Isser Avela. Isser dam is Mochom, Isser dam has Koris, but there won't be an Isser Avela. So Tosfos finally backs out the last three lines in the Tosfos. They come to the realization that dam is not Bechlal Basa. Dam is not included. Whenever there's a din in the Torah of Basar, dam is not included in Basar. The Tosfos in the beginning and the end is discussing this machlekes b'sham and b'sil. B'sham I hold that dam nevela is not metame, and we pass like b'sil. The dam nevela is metame. Where is the pasuk for dam nevela? The Tosfos assumes that b'sil shita is deraisa. The Rashash raises a possibility. He thinks not a possibility. He quotes the Rash that it's only with the Rabbanon. What are they working? What are they knocking their kishkas out for to find the pasuk? You're not going to find the pasuk. It's only with the Rabbanon. The Shammai is right. They still agree with the Shammai. And Atar Dam Nevela is not Metame. It's a Chumra Midi Rabbanon. Shaykh. So that's against the whole premise of the whole thesis. Thesis is assuming from the beginning to the end that Basil's opinion that Dam Nevela is Metame is a din derech. So in the beginning, Thesis thought, oh, Basil, no, based on the old rule that doesn't exist, the old rule that Dam Bechlal Basa. And then they come to realization, their last three lines, that it's not true, dam is not bichlal basa. So they say, it must be a pasuk. It must be that it's a pasuk somewhere. Must be a pasuk somewhere that the Torah's gone and darshan somewhere. That's what Taisus is guessing. Taisus a lot of times like that. In Kopshin, Taisus a lot of times, they don't know where the Tanoim got these dinim from. So a lot of times Taisus throws up their hands and they say, it must be a pasuk somewhere that they darshan from. So sometimes it is a pasuk that you look in the Torah's gone, and sometimes it is, and sometimes it's not. Okay. So, how is this relevant halacha l'maisa, this topic, whether dam bechalal basa, dam is not bechalal basa? So we mentioned the Prima Godim has a checklist whenever a person comes with a shaila. So the Prima Godim has hanhogas hashel v'anishal, different questions that you have to ask. You have to ask, are we dealing with an issa deraisa or are we dealing with an issa derabbanan? Afkamina, if it's a suffix deraisa, you have to go l'chumra. If it's a suffix derabbanan, you go l'kula. Do you have shishim? Do you not have shishim? If you have shishim, it can be bottled b'shishim. If it's a avida l'taima, if it's nesim time, if it's a flavoring, so it's a concentrate, so it gives time even past shishim, so then the shishim doesn't help. Okay, let's say you cooked in a treif a pot. When did the pot become treif? Did it become treif in the last 24 hours, or did it become treif before 24 hours ago? If it's more than 24 hours ago, that's called the klisheina ben yomo. The klisheina ben yomo is nesim time of gam, so it doesn't make treif. If it became treif in the last 24 hours, so it'll make treif the food that you're cooking in. So then the prima godim goes into more detail. So he says that there is a din d'araisa that dam is also b'achilo. Chalchelo v'chal dam lo sachelo. And he said, Karis. What about dam shebishlo? What if the blood was cooked? Why should it make a difference whether the blood is cooked or not? The answer is because the blood is only royal as rika. Agabi hamizbeach, if it's raw. If the blood, dam shebishloi, is not royal as rika, agabi hamizbeach. So what has it got to do with us? We're not in the Beis HaMikdash. We're not talking about zrika. No. The pasuk says, "Ki adam huva nefesh v'otana nasat elahem l'chapar al mizbeach." The reason why blood is prohibited, the reason why chelav adam are prohibited, it's put together in chumash, is because the chelav is supposed to be korv al gabi hamizbeach, and the blood is supposed to be sprinkled al gabi hamizbeach. That's why you need the Torah's Kanan, needs a special pasuk of Ibui to tell me that not only is chelav adam of karbonis osur, in chelav adam of emes chulin is also osa. I would have thought it's only osa of karbonis, because it says, so now the Gemara has a machlokes in Menachos. What's the din of dam shebishla? Dam shebishla is not kosher lezvike, agabi hamizbeach. Like yayin mevushel is not good for nisuch, agabi hamizbeach, and that's why there's a machlokes in Rishonim, whether yayin mevushel is acceptable for kiddush. The Rambam's opinion is, Rambam and many goyim hold that you cannot say kiddush on yayin mevushel, because the Gemara makes a statement in Baba Basra, you can only recite kiddush over yayin shekosher l'nasach agabi hamizbeach. If it's possible l'nasach agabi hamizbeach, no good for kiddush. Or let's say the emurim that you're supposed to burn on the mizbeach. Let's say someone cooked it first, and then they're going to burn it on the mizbeach. So the Gemara says you don't accomplish anything by burning it on the mizbeach. You're not yotzei anything if you already cooked the emurim. So you're not yotzei. Everything has to be fresh. The dam has to be fresh, and the chelav has to be fresh, and the yayin has to be raw, has to be fresh. If it's mevushel, it's not acceptable. So there's a question: there's a machlekes in Rishonim, which opinion do we accept? In Menachos, it's a machlekes Amarayim, but the dam shebishloi is an issa derais and issa derabbanan. So in Shulchan Aruch, there are more paskins from Ashkenazim that dam shebishloi is only derabbanan. And the Mechabashit is questionable. What does Svardim pasken? The dam shebishloi is derais and derabbanan. So the Prima Godim lived by the Ashkenazim. So he writes that dam shebishloi Ashkenazim paskin dam shebishloi is only derabbanan. So if it'll be whenever shishim is needed men haTorah, then it says in Shulchan Aruch, if you have a suffix, if you have shishim, it's a suffix deraisa l'chumer. Whenever shishim is only needed midirabbanan, so if you have a suffix, if you have shishim, so it'll be a suffix derabbanan l'kula. So what if the whole issa to begin with is only an issa derabbanan? You have dam shebishlo. So the whole issa you're dealing with is only derabbanan. So the whole requirement for bitul is only derabbanan. So the shishim is only needed midirabbanan. So if you have a suffix, if you have shishim, so then you can go l'kula. But he says, what happens if this dam, shebishloi, is dam min ha-trefo? This animal had a broken leg for a couple of months before we shechted it, and then we shechted it, and the broken leg was in such a way that it made it a trefo. While it was walking around, it was a trefo. And the milk that you get from a treifa, you're not allowed to drink. If a cow is a treifa and it gives off milk, the cholov from a treifa is also bachila. So the Prima Gadim says, if the cholov, the Mishnah says in Bukharis in the first third, Hayetzim and Atame is Tame. The milk that comes out from a treifa is asur. Or let's say a bird is a treifa and a lays an egg, if that's biologically possible. That's a debate in the Tanoim. Whether treifa yoledes is a treifa any yoledes. So on the assumption that a treifa bird can lay an egg, so that egg will be asur b'achila, based on the pasuk bas hayana. Bas hayana goes on beit asayf tame. If an ostrich lays an egg, so the ostrich is a min tame, an oif tame. So an oif tame that lays an egg, tummy. So from that pasuk we learn out that eggs that come from an oif tame are asur, an egg that comes from a bird that's a treifa is asur, and the milk that comes from a treifa is asur. The blood that develops, the body keeps on using up the old blood and developing new blood, keseder. So let's say the behemah became a treifa now. So if you shechted the same second that it became a treifa, so, and maybe the body didn't have a chance to manufacture and to produce any new blood, I don't know. But let's say you wait a week, the animal becomes a treifa today and you shechted next week. So by next week there's going to be a lot of blood that developed in the animal after it already became a treifa. So the blood that was developed by the treifa is loigara from milk. So the milk that's developed, that's godol b'yisa, the milk that's developed in the treifa is yotzim and asur asa. So the dam that's developed in the treifa is also asa. So that's how the Prima Gadim writes. If you have dam as an isa deraisa, and dam falls into flesh, so you need shishim in atur. If you have a sofik, if you have shishim, it's a sofik deraisa l'chumer. What if the dam fell in? What if the dam is dam shebishlo already? And then it gets mixed in. So dam shebishlo is only paskin, is only an isa derabbanan. So the whole need for shishim is only the derabbanan. So you have a sofik shishim, then you can go l'kula. What if the dam shebishloi came not from a kosher animal, came from a treifa animal? It came from an animal which was a treifa, or an animal which was a behemoth tmeyo. So a behemoth tmeyo, an elephant or a horse. So elephant or a horse is a behemoth tmeyo. So whatever blood is developed in the system is also yetzim and atami tami. A godel beister is yetzim and atami tami. So that doesn't help if you're going to cook it. When you cook dam shebishloi, it removes the Yisra Dam. There's no Yisra Kar, there's no Yisra Dam. But the Yisra of Chola Be'im et Tameya, the Yisra of Gadol B'Yisra, Yotze Menat Tami Tami, that's going to remain. And Yisra Deraisa. So that Shishim will be needed Menat Torah. And if you have a Sofik Shishim, that'll be Sofik Deraisa L'chumer. But what if it's Dam, not Dam from a treifa? What if it's Dam from an Avela? An animal, a cow, they shecht a cow, and it wasn't, turns out it's not a good Shechita. So the animal is an Avela. It's not that it was a treifa for the last week. It broke a leg last week in such a way that it's a treifa. It was a kosher, it was a healthy animal until today. And today, they shechted it, and they slipped, and they did a bad job, and they made it into an avela. So the Prima Gadim says, in such a case, you can't say that the dam is yotzim and asur asur. No. After the animal is dead, after it became an avela, it didn't develop any more dam. All the dam that you're going to get was developed while the animal was alive. While it was alive, it wasn't a treifa, it wasn't an avela. It was a healthy live animal, so the dam was not a problem. So if it'll be dam shebishloi, so bishl takes off the isa dam, and it's going to be an avela, it won't be a treifa, so there won't be a din of yotzim in asur asur. So then the whole prohibition on the dam will only be the rabbanon to begin with. So if you have a suffix, if you have shishim, you're not sure if you have shishim, so then he says you can go lakul. So then the Prima Gadim explains, but why not say that there should be an isa nevela on the dam, just like there's an isa nevela on the flesh, there should be an isa nevela on the dam. So if you cook nevela, it doesn't take off the isa nevela. If you cook dam, it takes off the isa dam, so there won't be chorus. But it doesn't take off an isa nevela. Nevela, you always cook and you eat it. So bishul doesn't take off the isa nevela. So why not say the dam is bechlal basa? So the Prima Gadim refers you to the Tosfos. Our Tosfos, with the Tosfos from Sachem Daf Chabez, the Tosfos comes to the final conclusion, the last three lines. It comes to the conclusion that dam is not bechlal basa. So by nevela, in order to be asa, has to be labeled as nevela. So since dam is not bechlal basa, it doesn't have an isa nevela. But by treifa, it doesn't have to be because it's bechlal basa. If the dam is godel b'isa, it's also hayotzim and atame. It's also tame. It's also going to be an isa deraisa. So that part of the tesis is relevant halacha l'maisa. The tesis says that dam is not bechlal basa. And therefore, dam from an avela, dam from a treifa, won't have the isa nevela or treifa. The dam from the treifa will have a din of yotzim min atame. There's a difference. Let's say you drink milk from a pig. So the Rambam writes, you don't get malchus. If you eat pork itself, you get malchus. If you eat a yoytzim in a tome, a batayana. Eat a yoytzim in a tome, eat a beta saif tome. So the Rambam's opinion is that there's no malchus on that. Tosfos and Chulin happens to disagree on Daf Samach. But the Rambam holds that on that, there's no malchus. That's a yoytzim in oser oser. It's an isa deraisa, but it's an isa resa. It's not an isa loisa. So that's an important theme that's relevant halacha lemaisa, what Tosfos says. Then at the end of the Tosfos, they quote a Mishnah in Me'ilah from Perikot Shemizbech, all on the same daf, Me'ilah daf Yudzayin, where the Mishnah states that Dam Hasheret Zebesara Mitztarfin, the Shiur and Shove. What Sheret are you talking about? The Shmoyna Shvatim Hamur Matorah, the Chumash singles out eight rodents. That if they're alive, they're alive. But if they're dead, then the mitame bimago. The sheret only mitame bimago. A nivlas beim is mitame bimago ubemasa. And a meisadim is mitame bimago bimasa ubeyoha. All three. So the dead sheret is only mitame bimago. That's as far as the whole story goes. So not only is the bisar hasheret mitame. So those eight rodents, not only the Gemara learns out from the pasuk, not only is the bisar hasheretz mitamei b'mago, the dam of the sheretz is also mitamei b'mago, and the shear is the same for the by odom. It's not the same. Kazayis menameis is mitamei, in revi is dam menameis is mitamei by nevel also. Kezayis of a nevela is matame b'mago b'maso of a niblas behema, and by dam in a nevela we pass them like the silo that dam in a nevela is matame. You need a revius. Kezayis is not matame, but by the sheretz the Mishnah says the shear is kadasha by both, by the dam of the sheretz and the bisar hasheretz. And the Mishnah says therefore dam hasheretz b'sara mitzar from the shiur and shoven, aval dam nevela b'sara loy. I'm not mitzvah from Yaha. Why is that? Because the shiurim are not shoven. Because the shiur for dam is revius, and the shiur for basar of an avela is kazayis. So therefore, it's not shiurim shovim, and it's not mitzvah from zavim zeh. That's how Tosfos writes. So the Mogen Avraham writes halacha lemaisa that in order to say bar nefashis after eating food, if someone ate kosher food, eat non kosher food, it sends shulchan aruch, you don't say bracha. I remember one of the girls in MCSY said, what can she do? Her mother feeds always non-kosher food. So she wants to have bread all the time. Because bread is kosher. Bread is kosher. So she wants to wash in order to say hamotzi on the bread, in order to say brichas hamazon at the end. Because if you eat nevela, so the din says that you don't say a bracha. You don't say a bracha before, you don't say a bracha after. And the girl was very religious. So what she could do? What could she do? She can't fight with the mother. So the mother gave her non-kosher food every day. So she was dying to say bracha. So she's going to wash for bread. So the bread is kosher. So she'll say hamoitzi and she'll say brichas hamoz and the veil of meat that she eats in the middle of the meal. So that she won't say bracha for anyone. It's covered with hamoitzi. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, if you eat kosher food, you got to say bracha before, you got to say bracha after. How much food do you have to eat in order to say bracha before, even kosher? There's no shir for bracha rishana. How much food do you have to eat in order to say bracha after, bracha achreino? So they quote the Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam's opinion, not all the Rishonim agree, the Rambam's opinion is that you have to eat a kazayis of ochel and a revius of mashke. So what if a person didn't have a kazayis of ochel, didn't have a revius of mashke? He had a chatzi zayis of ochel and had a chatzi revius of mashke. Would they be mitzvah from Yachad? So the Magen Avraham says no, based on this Tosfos, based on this Mishnah in Me'ilah, Daf Yud Zayin, that only by sheret, dam hasheret of besar mitzar from the shiur and shove, because the shear by the dam is also kadasha, the same shear as the besar hasheret. But by dam nevela or by dam meis adam, where the shear for the basar is kazayis and the shear for the dam is revius, so it's not shirem shovim, it's not mitzar from yachad. So that's what the Magen Avraham says over here. Since the shear for bracha shreina for mashkim is revius, and the shear for bracha shreina for eichlim is kezayis, how can you say a chatzi zayis and a chatzi revius? It's not shirem shovim, it's not mitzarfim. That's how the Magen Avraham says. So there's a tshuva in the Beis Ephraim where he's ma'orer a taina against the Magen Avraham, and the Keren Ayra was a little after the Beis Ephraim, next generation, thought of this on his own, and then he quotes, and now I just found the Beis Ephraim says like me, and he's all excited about it. Keren Ayra Me'ilah. They come up with an einfall. The Beis Ephraim was a businessman. He lived in the city Brod. He was not the rabbi in Brod, but he was more famous for his learning than the rabbi in Brod. So the Beis Ephraim had a famous correspondence with Chaim Valojina, with the Mishkanos Yankis. Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Magoz had a famous machlokes with the Mishkanos Yankis during the lifetime of Rabbi Chaim Valojina about all the Eruvin in Europe. The Beis Ephraim supported the Eruvin. He was from Galicia, from Broad. He was defending the institution of Erev, and the Mishkanos Yankis was against. So the Keren Ayra was the younger brother of the Mishkanos Yankis. He took over the Rabbanus and Kalin when the Mishkanos Yankis, Rabbi Yankel Kalin, passed away. So the Keren Ayra writes, he thought of this on his own, and then he found the Beis Ephraim says the same thing. He agrees with him. They're not so convinced that this Magen Avraham is right. Why? If you add a half a kezayis of Erchlam and a half a revius of Mashkim, how can it even start from Yachad? It's not Shireim Shovim. So they raise the possibility maybe that's called Shireim Shovim. Why? Because of the Gemara, Tesis on the fourth line of Tesis. They quote a Gemara Shabbos Daf Ayin Zayin and Menachos Daf Kuf Dalet that speaks about the Machlekes Bisham and Bisilo. The Bisham held only Bisar Nevelas Metame, Daminan Velas not Metame. Bisilo disagree. Tesis thinks Bisilo disagree Menatayra, Nerashash quotes the Rash in Mishnah is that Bisilo's disagreement is only with the Rabban. Whether Minatar Medir Rabban, they still think that Dam Nevela is Metame Berevius. So the Gemara in Shabbos Ayin Zayin and in Menachos Daf Kuf Dalet explains why did we decide that it's Metame, why did Bezilel come to the idea that it's Metame Berevius? Why did they pick that Shirevius? Because Hoyal V'yocha Likroish V'laman Al Kazayis Metame Midi Dehavi Abosa. If you would take a revius of dam, which is a liquid, and would congeal, so then it would shrink. If you take water, if you want to make ice cubes, and you take water and it turns into ice, so then it gets bigger. That's why people, if you leave a mikveh in the wintertime, if you leave a mikveh full of water in the wintertime in a cold place, and you don't have any steam in the room, so it's going to turn into ice, and it's going to crack the concrete, because the water is going to expand. When water freezes over and it becomes ice, it expands. But when blood congeals and it becomes solidified, then it shrinks. It gets smaller. So what's the ratio of shrinking? How much blood do you have that it should shrink? And when it's solidified, it'll turn into a kazayas. So the Gemara claims that the ratio has to be three times as much liquid. If you have a revi'ez dam is a beitza or machza, and a kazayas is a chatzi beitza. Either chatzi beitza or shlish beitza. Let's assume a chatzi beitza. So revius is at least three times as much as a kezayis. The volume of revius is a beitza machza, which is three times as much of a kezayis. Kezayis is a chatzi beitza. So the Gemara says in Shabbos Ayin Zayin and in Menachos Daf Kuf Dalet, if you take a revius dam which is liquid and you wait till it congeals and it solidifies, it'll shrink to the extent that it'll become a kezayis. So since the shear is kezayis of Basar Nevela is Metame, so the Shir for Dam should be revius. So the Keren Ayra with the Beis Ephraim, both Taina against the Magen Avraham, they're not so convinced that he's right. That if you have a half a Kazai Savurchel, Nev revius on Mashke, it's not Mitztarfim, because Ein Shirem Shovim, the din is that he said Barnefashis on Oichel, he said Barnefashis on Mashke. So it's Shmosem Shovim, the din. The bracha is the same, bar nefash is on both. But the shiurim are not shavim, you have to have shmosem shavim, should be shiurim shavim. We're talking about bar nefash is on both, but it should be the same shiur. So the Magen Avraham says, since on the, let's say you had a chatzi revius of orange juice, and a chatzi kezayis of, a chatzi kezayis of tuna fish, whatever. So the Magen Avraham says, they're not mitztarfim because it's not the same shiur. So these achrayim tainim, maybe it is the same shear. The Gemara said that a revius will if it'll congeal, if it'll solidify, it'll convert into a kazayit. He had a question. The Gemara talking about blood. Other liquids are the same as water. They're going to expand. So that's a very good kasha. But they all, there's not such a good kasha. They all, that's what the Gemara is saying, that revius and liquids, they say it's a lab daf kedam. These are beis afrayim with the kerenara. They think revius and liquids is considered al pitin, the same shear as kazayit. There's a conversion table. If you have three times as much volume in liquid, that's the equivalent of one third the volume in solid. So they argue the point, it could be that that's called shirem shav, it could be that the half a revius of orange juice would be mitzarf with the half a kazayit of tuna fish to say barnefashes at the end. Could be that it's only over here. Dam hanavela upsara, not mitzarf. Maybe that's a different thing because bisar hanavela is mitami min atera, and dam hanavela is only mitami min derabbanan, the rashol. So maybe you need a here nor there. The dinam are different. This is the raisa, this is the rabbanan. Maybe that's why they can't blend in together. But if you talk about a bar nefashis, saying a bar nefashis, and maybe a chatzi kezayis and a chatzi revis would be mitzvah. That's a shame. So this fat taste of this, and dalar am an aleph minayin reviz dam, is relevant halacha l'mayim. Interesting topic. How do we get involved? We're learning Sanhedrin this year. How do we get involved? Because we started like this. The opening Mishnah says, Dini mamon is bishlosh. And the Gemara explains the original pasuk in Chumash says by gzeilos ha-chavolos. It really says by gzeilos. But chavolos is the rai, malichov ha-begufa, malichov ha-mamona. That's a mamatzim. That's the same thing. But those malvois, he can't stretch a mamatzim. That's not the same way. Those malvois, he can't extend with a mamatzim. That has to go either with either parashios or just doesn't go at all. So the original pasuk says by gzeilos ha-chavolos that you need shlosh ha-smuch. So the Gemara, and by those malvois, the machlek is whether you extend it with the here a parsha is kosher kana not whether menatari in each loshes smucha by hodos balvois or it's only a takana midirabbanan menatari it's enough chad namikosh. Fine. So then the Gemara says the shlosha min olon on the top, on the fourth line from the top of gimel amud beis, shlosha min olon, where does it say that you need three smuchim by gzev zachavol? Smuchim it says elohim, but it doesn't, never says that you need three. So the Gemara says this is one of the midrash haperen midrashes then. If it has the word Elohim appears three times, so you add up the three times, and one, two, three, and a business three. So we got diverted over here. So we started running through different Gemaras. We didn't run through so many Gemaras. We said, Bereshit bar lekin, vayecha lekin, vayecha lekin, malachto asher osa. So it says malachto, then it says malocha, then it says maleches. So one time it says, if you add up every place in Chumash with the word malocha, malachto, maleches, exists, it'll add up to 39. That's the marker for 39 of his malach. Then we had a Gemara that says, Bava min aleph. When you play the Hegdish, that's karka, so you have to have a bezna of 10 to assess the value of the Hegdish. How do you know that you need a bezna of 10? Because the word Kohen appears 10 times. If you add up how many times the word Kohen appears in the three paragraphs, one next to the other, in the end of Chumash Vayikra, so it adds up to 10. So then we said, over here you're adding up how many karnos hamizbeach, how many zrikas hadam, and then you're adding up basukas, how many defanas do you need? So that's from the Midrash HaTorah and the Rosh Hashanah. You add up how many times the word appears. So we got involved a little bit in this Gemara, but basically we didn't really chazi yet gimel amud beis. So let's go, this was all a footnote. So let's go back where we came from. Shloisha min olon, how do you know that you need a bezna of three smuchim? Bagzeilus lachavolos. So the Gemara has a machlekes hatanoim, Rabbi Yoshiya and Rabbi Yonasan, whether it says three times. It says three times Elohim. Do you have to have three times Elohim, or is it sufficient the first time is ein darshim tchilas? That doesn't count. If you're adding up how many times the word appears, so the first time does make sense. You should add it up. Have to say Elohim once. You have to know that you have to have smicha. Once it says it twice, then it sounds like you're starting to add things up. So maybe ein darshim tchilas. And you only add up the second two times. So maybe a bezin should consist of two dayanim. No, we have a rule, a pasuk, adin deraisa, ein bezin shom. You can never have an even number bezin, you always have to have an odd number bezin. So what does the other tana need in Moria? So why does the other tana need three times Elohim? Let it be sufficient with two times Elohim, and the third time I'll know, based on this pasuk that says, ein bezin shokel, we always require an odd numbered bezin. So the Gemara says that Tana denies that there is such a rule. He holds that there is no such klal. Because he proves it from the Bez Nagadol. There is a machlekes hatanaim in the Mishnah. It says, "Esfuli shavimish asher yadai tekihem zikne ha'am l'shoytrov." Moshe Rabbeinu's commanded in Parshas Balarischa to gather together to constitute a Bez Nagadol of shivim zikain. So shivim zikain, but the Bez Nagadol is the Habezn. So you see that you can have a Bezn shokel. So there's nothing wrong with a Bezn shokel. So then the Gemara says, "Well, what does the other Tana do?" So that's a machlekes hatanaim in the Mishnah. When it says Esvali Shivimish gather together 70 Zikanim, and Moshe Rabbeinu was Al Gabeim, so Moshe Rabbeinu with the 70 adds up to 71. So the Bez Nagadol is really supposed to have 71. Or you say no, Bez Nagadol is supposed to have 70. Moshe Rabbeinu works independently, and Bez Nagadol of 70 works independently. So that's a machlekes hatanaim in the Mishnah where the Bez Nagadol was 70 or 71. So one time the whole Bez Nagadol was 71. So every bezin is a bezin nota. Every bezin is an odd bezin. And one Tana insists, no, bezin agadol was 70, and from there I can derive that there's no such rule of bein bezin shokel. Then the Gemara says another Tana splits. He holds the bezin agadol was taka 70, but you can't learn anything from bezin agadol. That's an exception to the rule. Every other bezin in the world has to be a bezin nota. Only bezin agadol not. Why? So the Gemara doesn't give any rationale. So we said over from Rav Soloveitchik an interesting idea. Why should one distinguish between the Bez Nagadol and every other Bez? A Bez for Smichas Pacharam Novashal Tziba, the Pesukim say you only need either two or four, so we throw in an extra one because they're Bez and Shokel. Bez for Medina Segla Rufa either says that you need two or four, so we throw in a Chalitz is either two or four, so you throw in an extra dayim because they're Bez and Shokel. So you always say they're Bez and Shokel. Punk Bez Nagadol, we say Bez and Shokel. Why is that? So Rav Soloveitchik suggested an interesting insight that the Rambam writes that the role of the Bez Nagadol was basically that it served as the kollel of Klal Yisrael. It was the international code to preserve the Masorah of the Torah Shemal Peh. That's how the Rambam begins Hilchas Mamrim. The Sanhedrin, Bez Nagadol should be Shalim by the Iker Amuri HaHoirah, the Iker Torah Shemal Peh. Their function is to transmit the Torah Shabbat Peh from generation to generation. Once in a while they have to serve in the role of a Bezin, but their main purpose is not really to act as a Bezin. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik pointed out. There are two dinim in the Rambam, which the Rambam just quoting from Tosefta's, that seem to indicate that this is the case. That the main role of the Bezin HaGadol is really Amuri HaHairoa Nika Torah Shabbat Peh. The Rambam says that every other Bezin doesn't convene on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Because they ain't done in Shabbos and Yom Tov, because every Shem Yichtov. There's not going to meet 7 days a week, even Shabbos and Yom Tov. They meet every day. And then the Rambam says the hours are longer. There's not going to have longer hours. Another person just has a half a day, and then they call it quits. And there's not going to learn longer. Why is that? So he said it would appear from these two dinim that the Rambam quotes from the Tosefta, like the Rambam wrote himself in the first halacha in Hilchas Mamrim. That the main function of the Bez Nagadol is not really to serve as a Bezin. It's to serve as the Amudei HaHairoa and the Iker Torah Shabbat Peh to transmit, to sit and learn. It's a kelo to sit and learn. So that's why they're supposed to have longer hours, and that's why they're supposed to meet even on Shabbos Yom Tov. Their main role is not so much to be done, to paskin. That's a violation. They ain't done in Shabbos Yom Tov. They're not supposed to have a dinter in Shabbos Yom Tov. But the main role of the Bez Nagadol is supposed to be that they act like a kelo. So the kelo is supposed to be in session 7 days a week, and 15 weeks a year. Supposed to be Shabbos and Yom Tov also. That's the Rav Soloveitchik, because by then for the kasha of the Maharal Miprag, the Tosfos Yom Tov was the Talmud of the Maharal Miprag. I think he took over the Rabbanus in Prague after the Maharal passed away. So he quotes the kasha of the Maharal Miprag against the Rambam. The Gemara says in the middle of Yuma that on one occasion, on many occasions, the Kohanim Gedolim were not so learned. So after they finished the Avodah on Yom Kippur, so everybody would walk the Kohanim Gedolim home. We have it in the Piyutim that we recite after the Seder Avodah Yom Kippur. If they finished Avodah, everybody would walk them home. So the Gemara tells a story on one occasion with Man Bai Sheni, they were walking the Kohanim Gedolim home. And then they saw the chief rabbis were walking home. They had two, they had a Nasi and an Abed. So they had Shmai Rav Talyum, the chief rabbis. And this Kohen Gadol was a Kohen Gadol. He was nobody special. He was not learned. So they all left the Kohen Gadol and they start walking with the chief rabbis. So the Gemara has an expression over there that sounds like the chief rabbi, Shmai Rav Talion, were Gerim. They were descendants of non-Jews. Yesin b'nei amam amamaya l'shlom. The Kohen Gadol said, greetings, my non-Jewish descendants of the non-Jews. They had a negative remark about them, that everybody left the Kohen Gadol, went to the two chief rabbis. So he made a negative comment about the two chief rabbis. So the Rambam understood that Gemara to mean that Shmai Rabtanim were converts, that they were gerim. So the Maram Prague, quoted by the Tosfos Yontov on Pirkei Avos, on Mishnayos Megillas, when it mentions Shmai Rabtanim kibla mehem, so the Tosfos Yontov quotes Shmai Rabtanim were gerim, and they were zeichet to become the chief rabbi and the assistant chief rabbi, the Nosni Niyabdezim. So the Maram Prague asked the Kasha, how can it be? You can't appoint a ger to be a member of a bezin. How can they, Kavachama, they can't be, it's a din of Sarar, how can you appoint them as the Nosi and the Abdezin? So Rav Soloveitchik had a twist. He wanted to defend the Rambam. Why the Rambam writes that Shmai Bavtalyim were gerim? So the Marami proclaims that they were descendants of gerim. They were themselves were not gerim. They were Hirosim and Lidosim Migdushim. They were descendants of gerim. Yesen b'nei amamayo v'shlom. The Kohen Gadol greeted them. He said the descendants of the goyim should have a good year. They didn't necessarily mean that they themselves were the gerim. So the Rambam understands that they were gerim. I hacken your point to be members of the bezin. So Rav Soloveitchik suggested that maybe any other bezin whose role is to be dan people, the balabatava over other people, to be dan din imamunis, to be dan din nefashis. So that's called a sarara over the others. So you're not permitted to appoint a ger to a position of sarara of Yisraelim Gemurim. That's lined up in the pasuk. Son tosim olach hamelach, mikar v'achecha tosim olach hamelach, lo sucha lasas lach yishnachri ha-shaloi achichahu. So the Gemara understands, same tosim, v'shem is kvulim, we darshin, we assume like Rebbe Kiva, lo di v'terek v'shem b'ni odom, so we darshin, same tosim, kol mesim is b'mashma, any appointment, not only to the sror of Malchus, to all other positions of sror as well. So the Gemara says in the middle of Yevamos, in Perek, is the Perik, in the middle of Yevamos. Fourth Perik of Yevamos, what's the name? I forgot. Whatever. Acholet, Perik Acholet Levinta. Perik Acholet, so the Gemara has, the Gemara says there that you cannot appoint Gerim to any position of any Sarara whatsoever. That to appoint a Ger to be a member of a Bezin of Shloisha, to be a member of Bezin of Chav Gimel, that's a sror, because he's got a paskin on someone else. But to be a member of the Bez Nagadol, the main role of the Bez Nagadol was to serve as a koilo. Once in a long while, they would judge a case, a particular case, about an individual. So if such a case would come up, Shmai Bavtan would have to leave. They would have to leave. They wouldn't be able to be done. But most of the time, they were just sitting and learning. They were talking and learning, just saying Chaburis, saying Dibetar. So that they can do. That's what Rav Soloveitchik liked that idea. So that's it. And he thought that that's what the Rambam's two Toseftas are driving at. Why the hours are longer of the Bez Nagadol, and why they meet even on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Because the main role of the Bez Nagadol is not to be done. Main role is just like the Rambam writes in Perek Aleph, Halach Aleph, and Hilchos Mamrim. So maybe that's what the Gemara means here. That when do you have a din of Ein Bez Mishakul by a Bezdin whose sole role is to be done? So then you have to have Ein Bez Mishakul. But if basically the Bez Nagadol is a koilo, so then we understand there's nothing wrong with having a Bezin Shokol. It's not really a Bezin. It's a koilo. Once in a while, they have to act like a Bezin. Like in Eretz Yisrael, they're a koilim. And the koilo also serves once in a while as a Bezin. If someone wants them to serve as a Bezin, they'll be happy to serve as a Bezin. They're not so happy. They'll waste time a little bit, so they'll serve as a Bezin. But basically, it's a koilo that on the side, they do Bezin work. So maybe that's what it more distinguishes. Maybe the only time Rav Yudis says you can have a Bez Nagadol of 70 as opposed to 71, that Bez Nagadol is different. That's one idea the Gemara conveys over here. Then the Gemara has another suggestion, that maybe the din of Ein Bez Mishakul only applies to din in nefashis and doesn't apply to din in mominus. The original pasuk lintas acharam lahata samat ha'selocha Bez Naita, that pasuk happens to be speaking about din and nefashos. So the Gemara says in the middle of the Shakvetari that some Tanaim are of the opinion that you only require a Bezdin Noite and din and nefashos, and in din and mamadis you don't need a Bezdin Noite, Bezdin Shokol is good. Why should it make a difference whether it's mamadis and nefashos? So Rashi has a fascinating explanation on this. Rashi says like this: we have a pasuk, the Hitzilah Hoedah. Hitzilah Hoedah means you have to try to be mahapach the schusay of the nidon, to try to acquit him however possible, if it's within legal bounds, not time to acquit all the criminals to get them off the hook. But that's the Hitzilah Hoedah. The Gemara has Atkedei Kach on Samach Tesam and Aleph. The Gemara says it says the Hitzilah Hoedah here in Samach Tesam and Aleph, 10 lines from the bottom. So it says in Bamidbar chapter Laman Hevi Hitzilah Hoedah. So you should always go out of your way to darshan the psukim lahaka, to be kaveh all the halachas in a kula dika fashion. Whenever it's a toss up, usually we have a klal. Kalecha dika lakusha lechumra lekula lechumra makshina. Whenever it's a toss up, how to darshan a pasuk, so you always darshan in lahachmir. And indeed in the fashas, the Gemara says the reverse. Whenever there's a toss up, you always darshan lahaka. Because of the hitzilah hoedah, you always go to be mahapach bischusai, to be lenient on the nidah. So that's what the Gemara is suggesting over here. Maybe the requirement for Bezdin note that we don't permit a Bezdin shakel is only in Dinah Nefashos, because if you'll have an even, let's say you'll have 22 Dayan instead of having 23. How do we establish the number of 23? How do we decide that a Sanhedrin Tana, it's done, Dinah Nefashos, has to have 23 Dayan? So the Mishnah works it out like this. It says Vishav to Ha'eda. The word Eda means 10 people. On Masal Eda or Razos, there were 12 Meraglim. And sure, the Kolob didn't tell a lie. They said it everything as it was. And the 10 Meraglim said Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael. So Lashon was angry. So he says at Masal Eda or Razos, referring to the 10, the evil Meraglim. He's not referring to Yeshua the Kolob. They didn't say anything wrong. So that establishes that the word Eda has the connotation of 10. So here it says Vishav to Ha'eda. So it says it's a there's a possibility of the Bezdin that's being done in the Fashas to have 10 Rabbonim, members of the Bezdin, say Chayiv Misa, Bishof Tohedo, Behitzilo Edo, and 10 Rabbonim, Edo means 10 Rabbonim saying Potter. So if you have it, so you're ready, the Bezdin has to have 20 people. You have to have a possibility of 10 saying Chayiv, 10 saying Potter. It's going to be a stalemate, 10 say Chayiv, 10 say Potter, it won't come to a conclusion. So you need 21. So you know that you need one more, you need 21. You need 21. If you only have a majority of one, that'll only be good if the majority is to say that he's acquitted, that he's potter from Misa. But if you want to say, come to the conclusion that he's chayv Misa, you have the pasuk lasiach harav leros. A simple rov is not enough to give din and nefashos. You have to have a rov of shnayim. So you have to say, if it's possible to have a shofta who ate a ten say chayv, the tzilu ate a ten say potter, you have to add another two. If you only add one, the bezdim alone will be paralyzed if they want it. They'll never be able to say lachumra. It'll only function. They'll only come to a maskana if the one will say lahakil. If the one says lahachmer that is chayv nisa, so they can't function. So you have to have 22. So once you have 22, so it's possible to have a rov shnayim to say chayiv, or rov shnayim say potter. But if you only have 22, so maybe split and you have 11-11. So what's going to be if it's going to say, well, so you'll have 11. So if it'll be a split, what do you do if you have 23 and one says any Yodeya, and it's split, it's 11 to 11 and one says any Yodeya, so you'll see push 9. You add another 2. The world doesn't come to an end. So the Gemara says no. The Pasuk says that we recommend you have to have a Bezna Nota. Don't leave it as a Bezna of 23. Make it a Bezna of, don't leave it as a Bezna of 22. Make it as a Bezna of 23. So in order that it's, unless someone's going to say any Adeya, someone says any Adeya, so it's possible to have a tie. It's going to be 11 to 11. But on the assumption, everyone's going to have an opinion. Jews are always very opinionated. It's very rare that a Jew is going to say any Adeya. So you're going to have a Bezin Noita. So the Gemara says, maybe this requirement of the Chumash, to have a Bezin Noita, is only in Dini Nefashos, because we want to have the possibility of 12 to 11 lahakel. Of 12 to 11 lahakel. Because to acquit the nidon is sufficient with a rov of echot. To be mechayiv nisa, you have to have a rov of shnayim. So if you would have had only 20, a dozen of 20, it says you have to have a possibility of 10 sechayiv, 10 sechayiv. So there's not going to be any conclusion. So it means, when it says v'shav to eidu tzilu eidu 20, it means 20 plus. So, and it can be 21. That you can only come to a conclusion, the Hakal not Lachman. So you need 22. So why does the Torah say you need 23? Maybe because we want to have the possibility of having a Rove of Echad Lahakil. But in the case of Dini Mominis, where there's no vehitzila ho'edo, you're not out to acquit anybody. Whatever's going to be a kul on one is going to be a chum on the other. Whatever's going to be a chum on him is going to be a kul on him. You have two parties over here. So the vehitzila ho'edo only applies to din and nefashis, it applies to malchus, it applies to golus. But there's only one person involved. Whenever it's a din and mamonis case, the two parties involved that are vying with each other. So you don't say vehitzila, you don't go out of your way. When it happens to schusa of anybody, it's not fair. You have to be even-handed. So that's what the Gemara suggests to Svara. The Tanna who says you got to have three times Elohim, he holds if it would only be written twice Elohim, you wouldn't establish on your own that you need three because then there's no shokel. He would have said no, you need a bezin of two, and you would need a unanimous vote. And if you'd have a split vote, you'll have to have your seat for shnayim. Aye, but doesn't the pasuk say ein bezin shokel? So he says that ein bezin shokel, that's only by din and nefashis, because of the hitzila ho'edo. We want to have a possibility of having a roiv of echad lift to it. So if you'll only require bezin of 22, you'll only be able to papa him with a roiv of shnayim. Never be able to make use of this kula that a roiv of echad is enough to papa. So we want to make use of that kula. We want the yitzilo way to do something, go out of your way to employ that kula, that to acquit the nido and it's enough with a roiv of echad. So go out of your way, make it a bezin of 23. That's what the pasuk means. En bezin shokul. Indeed, in the pashas, we say the hitzilu way to go out of your way, create a possibility of having a bezin which will have a roiv of echad lahokul. But in mamonis, what do you want to go out of your way to have a roiv of echad? What do you need it for? You're not out to gain, to acquit anybody. Whatever the kul of him is going to be a chumer for him. An interesting einfall that the Gemara has, that to distinguish between mamas and nefashas, because the whole idea of endez and shokul is a branch of the din of the hitzila ho'eda. That's how Rashi explains pshat in the Gemara. The din of nefashas, it's kain bo hatayot chalotov al piyechod. You want to have enough, you will need 23 instead of 22 in order to enable you to employ the kula of a roiv echad liftur. But any other case other than a fashas, he wouldn't require. There are two tanoim regarding the composition of the Bez Nagodol. Rabbi Yudah's opinion is that the Bez Nagodol consists of 70 rabbonim, and the Chacham say that it had 71 rabbonim. Nobody says there were 72. Nobody says there were 72. The problem is, there is a Mishnah, I think the first Mishnah in Zvachim. One of the Tanaim says, "Mekumlani mipi bezin shal ayin beis zikenim." He heard from the 72 rabbis. There's no opinion that the Bez Nagodol had 72 rabbis. And the Gemara Sukkah has the Agarata, that Talmai HaMelech, Gemara Megillah has more, Talmai HaMelech invited the Bez Nagodol to come to Alexandria and to translate the Tanakh for him into Greek. And he put each one in a different room, and each one had to translate the Tanakh, and a miracle occurred, and they all wrote the same translation, and there were 10 places where they changed the translation. Yeah, they say from Rabbi Hutman, they said if they would have been in the same room, they would have given the same translation, that would have been a bigger miracle. They would have all been together and gave the same translation, that would have been a bigger miracle. This was a half a miracle. So it says that they were in 72 different rooms. Why 72 rooms? Ayin based katedros. There were 72 rooms and 72 fancy swivel chairs in each room. Well, they have 72 rooms. They're only either 70 or 71. Who has this idea of 72? So that's what Tosis quotes from the Gemara later. That there is a machlekes hatanayim where the Bez Nagodol is 70 or 71. And there was Echad Mimun al Kulam. There was always an advisor. There was always a great goyin who was a consultant to the Bez Nagodol. So if you heard that there were 70, that this Bez Nagodol consisted of 71, and they had Echad Mimun al Kulam, they had a halachic advisor, they had a consultant, so that made it into 72. Got to say something, because we have historical evidence that there was a body of 72. So what was the body? No one says that Bez Nagodol was 72. Okay, so that's the Gemara on Gimel Amud Beis. Then the Gemara here on Dalet Amud Aleph continues with more issues. of Yeshem Lamikra, Yeshem Lamasar. So one of the topics the Gemara brings up is Basa B'Cholav. Now we know, we all know what Basa B'Cholav is all about. Cooked meat with milk. The Pasuk says, Basa B'Asha G'di B'Chalei Dimon. Yeah, the Issam and Atar is only if the meat and the milk are cooked together. If you have a sandwich and you have cheese and you have a hamburger, so that's only Basa B'Cholav D'Rabbanan. Only Basa B'Cholav D'Rabbanan said it's cooked together. Derech Bishol Asatar. What if it's not bishul? What if they fried it? What if you fry, let's say, steaks with butter? You fry it instead of cooking it. It says lo sev ashel. Lo sev ashel means any case where you use heat. Let's say in Hilchas Shabbos, bishul mevashel is one of the lametes of the halachas. You're going to say it's only an issa deraita if you do bishul, if you cook soup or if you cook with liquid. And what if you roast and what if you fry and what if you broil it? So you're going to say it's not a malacha of mevashel men atar. It's all the same thing. It's all mevashel men atar. So maybe that's only on Shabbos, but there are obvious and toldos. There's a pasuk that tells you that told the same kayotzeben that malachet the lametas of malachas of Shabbos have toldos, and the toldos have the same status. Told the same kayotzeben have the same status as the other. Maybe in other areas of halacha where there's no pasuk of toldos, told the same kayotzeben. So maybe I'll be hit by basa b'cholav. Maybe basa b'cholav deraita is only derech bishul literally. If you'll broil steak and you'll sprinkle on milk or you put on butter as you broil the steak, maybe it's only basa b'cholav d'rabbanan. Sounds strange. Maybe it's only basa b'cholav d'rabbanan. So a group of achrenim want to say like that based on this gemara on dalet amud beis. So it's important to know this gemara when you learn yeridei. The gemara has like this. The gemara raised the question. There is no kriya ksiv over here. Lo sevashel gdi b'chalei b'moy. You're not substituting a different word for the word that's written. And nonetheless, we treat it as a topic of Yeshem Lamikra versus Yeshem Lamasaras. Even though there's nothing misspelled, there's no strange spelling over here. Whether you pronounce the word lo sevashel gdi b'chalei b'moy, that it's forbidden to cook the meat with the fat of the mother, or b'chalei with the milk of the mother, the spelling is going to be the same. So the only way to know what the correct reading is according to the mikra. We have a tradition, what the way to pronounce the word is. So nonetheless, this is also a topic of Yeshem Lamikra, Yeshem Lamasar. So Gemara quotes the question, how do you know that basa b'chalav means what we know, what we think it is, basa b'chalav? Maybe it should be basa b'chalav. So one Tana says, no, Yeshem Lamikra, case is closed, nothing to discuss. The other Tana holds Yeshem Lamasar is, you have a right to cover up the two commentaries on the side and to make up your own reading. So maybe it means b'chalav. So the Gemara says it can't from the context of the parsha because it says lo sevashel, and if it's talking b'chalav, then it would be tigun, then it wouldn't be bishul. That's how Rashi says. The Gemara says derech bishul asatera. So Rashi in the first pshat in Tosfos, the bottom Tosfos on dalet amud beis, first pshat in Tosfos says kidapirish b'kuntres, that that would be considered tigun. So that's what some achrayim quote this Rashi and Tosfos. They say tigun is frying. So you see from this Gemara beferish that if you have meat that was fried with butter, it wasn't cooked with milk, it was fried with butter, so that's not basa b'chalav d'oraisa, that's only basa b'chalav d'rabbanan. So that's what the other achrayim say. The truth of the matter is it doesn't really say that in the Gemara. The Gemara is entertaining a hava mina that the only time there's a din of lo sevashel gedi is b'chalav imo. That's the only time. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? If the din is lo sevashel b'chalav, then there's never going to be bishul. It's always going to be tigun, so that verb is out of place. Instead of lo sevashel, it should have said, don't do tigun of the flesh b'chalav imo. But once you say that, the pasuk really goes on basa b'chalav, and I understand why he uses the verb sevashel. You shouldn't cook meat with milk. So who are the nami if you broil the meat or if you fry the meat with butter or with milk? It's going to be the same din. Bishul fits in. And tikkun is also dinaki bishul. Tliya and tikkun is also dinaki bishul. The Gemara never said that tikkun is not included in bishul. The Gemara says if the pshat would have been that it's only usur, if it's basa b'chelev, then it shouldn't say bishul at all. It should have said tikkun, should have said a different verse. But now that we know that the halacha is that it goes on basa b'chalav, so the word bishul fits in if you happen to be cooking the meat and milk, and if you're frying it, it's the same thing as cooking it, and if you're broiling it, the same thing as cooking it. You're broiling or frying with butter, it'll also be an issa d'oraisa. So that's a famous machlokes in Shulchan Aruch. And nafkamina la halacha, what's the difference whether it's basa b'chalav d'oraisa or basa b'chalav d'rabbanan? Yeah, the conservatives do away with all the din of the Rabbanon. So by them it makes a difference. But Orthodox Jews observe the din of the Rabbanon the same way you observe a din of the Raisa. So what's the difference about this Basa B'chalav, the Raisa, Basa B'chalav, the Rabbanon? Big difference. Basa B'chalav, the Raisa has three parts to it. It's also B'bishol, it's also B'achil, it's also B'ano. Basa B'chalav, the Rabbanon is Muta B'bishol, Muta B'ano. Let's say a guy works in a restaurant and his job is, he's the chef, and they want him to fry. They want him to cook basa b'chalav d'raisa. So he's not allowed to cook basa b'chalav d'raisa. What if they want him to cook chicken and butter? They want him to fry chicken and butter. So he doesn't pay. He can fry chicken and butter. There's no issue. But chicken is only the rabbana. So basa b'chalav d'rabbana is muta b'dishul. So he's permitted to cook it. Unless he's feeding it to Jews, that's an issue of lifnei iver. But if he's in Harlem, he's feeding it to non-Jews. He has no Jewish customers. Not a shayla of lifnei iver. There's a shayla of loisav asher. And then he gets salaried for this. If it's basa b'chalav d'raisa is also b'hano, how can he take a salary to deal with the siri hano? So he's getting hano. But if it's only chicken with butter, chicken with milk, so it's only basa b'chalav d'rabbanan, so it's muta b'bishul and it's muta b'hano. There's no problem. So most poskim assume that tigun would be d'raisa. Minority opinion wants to say that tigun is only d'rabbanan. But most hold that tigun is d'raisa. What if you cook blood with milk? A guy cooks and mixes together blood with milk. So if dam is bechlal basar, we had to taste on him an hour. If dam is bechlal basar, he's not going to eat it anyway, it's blood. He's going to be dam shebishloi. But dam shebishloi is also the rabbanon, so he's not going to eat it. But he's there for an experiment, whatever. So he wants to cook dam with chalav. He's a mutar eras. If the din would have been, which it isn't, that dam is included in basa, it would have been basa b'chala. But dam is not b'chala basa. So there's no basa b'chala on it. So that shayla is a joke. The Gemara said the favorite, said dam b'chala is muta. That's not an isa basa b'chala. The shayla is, what if you cook liver with milk? So there's a tesis in chulin where the rabbi in the time is not talking about basa b'chala, he's talking about salting the liver. How do you get out all the blood from the liver? So rabbi in the time writes a statement, the kavod is kula dam. The liver is full of dam, the whole thing is kula dam, and it's mutter anyway, so the need to broil the liver, to remove the dam, is only with the rabbonah. Because minatar, the whole thing is full of dam anyway. So the Maram Shiv, in the end of Sanhedrin, has a tshuva on Ardach, on Dalet on the days. I think it's the end of Sanhedrin. There's a tshuva la'alocha about a case that came up. There was some kind of a shayla that by mistake they made the liver broiled, they broiled the liver together with butter or milk. So he thinks that it's only basa b'chalav d'rabbanan. Why? Because the Rabbeinu Tam said that kavod is kula dam. I don't know if you have to take the Rabbeinu Tam literally. Kavod is kula dam. There's no flesh there. He meant when he gets to salting it. It's not gonna help anyway. Even if you're gonna broil it and salt and stain on your head, it's still gonna be full of dam. He meant when he gets to the isa dam. He didn't mean for basa b'chalav. That's what the Maram Shif understood. He said the kavod is kula dam, and there's no basa b'chalav by dam and chalav, so liver and milk, the worst it can be is basa b'chalav d'rabban. It'll never be basa b'chalav d'raisa. So whenever there's a suffix, you have a right to go to kula. Most other rachmanim do not agree with that Maram Shif. His shayla had a few tzirufim. That was one of the snifim lahakel in his case. Then the Gemara has a klal. What if you have a kriya ksiv and you can figure out how to determine the halacha by blending them both together? So that's wonderful. So then everybody agrees. That's what Tosafot writes on Amanat. Whenever you can blend in the cream and sieve together, then everybody holds you. Yeshem. So you'll have two mothers. Yeshem la mikra and Yeshem la masoros. And there'll be both. Yeshem la mikra and la masoros. The only time it's a machlekes hatanaim is when there's a conflict. Either the mikra is going to win and the masoros are going to win. Whenever you can blend in together. Where's an example of blending in together? So the Gemara quotes that Suma Be'ino Achas, Rabbi Yudah ben Tema, six lines from the bottom of Dalet on the base. Rabbi Yudah ben Tema, Oimer, Rabbi Yechon Amen, Davoy Oimer, Mishum Rabbi Yudah ben Tema. Asuma Bachas Me'enov, Potter Min Hariya. So it says on the side to look in Chagiga, Ayin Shom, and Erechin Ayin Shom. Why is Ayin Shom? Because the names are a little different over there. So we really pay attention to the names. Abayi, Rava, what's the difference there? We don't pay attention. Unless it's in the middle of a sugi and they ask a kasha, Abai and Abai, but we usually don't pay attention. But the one who wrote the Matoros HaShah, is he paid attention to every letter in the Gemara. So here it says, Rabbi Yochanan quotes in the name of who? Rabbi Yochanan ben Davoy quotes the name Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema. And there it says a slightly different spelling of the name, so that he arouses your attention. Ayin Shom. Whenever it says Ayin Shom, it means that there's a major difference. Either here it says Pata, there it says Asa. Mutter, Achayev, Pata, you know, a real contradiction, or it has a different name. If it's the same din but a different name, so he tells you Ayin Shom. So it's a question, who's speaking here? Okay. So he says, Asuma bein achas potam ariyah shenema yira yira kedach shabal liros kach bal liros. So we put together the mikra and the masoros, that the Rebbeinu Shalom comes to see us and we come to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sholom shalom shana yira e kol zechurcha yira e, the simple kriya of the pasuk is we should all appear in the presence of Hashem who's going to look at us. But we also read it as if we're covering up all the mefarshim on the side. We're not reading the grammar. So we say Yira Kol Zechurcha. All the Jewish men should see the Shechina. So we have to see the Rebbeinu Shalom in the same way that the Rebbeinu Shalom comes to see us. Just like the Rebbeinu Shalom certain comes to see us with both eyes. He doesn't have any eyes, but he, so to speak, lovingly. Look with one eye means a little angry. Look with two eyes, looking straight ahead, means the Rebbeinu Shalom loves the Jewish people. That's a Medrash Rabbah on the pasuk, the concluding pasuk in Shashim Brachtoi the Belechol Tzvi. The Medrash Rabbah says that when the deer is awake, it has both eyes open. When the deer is sleeping, it keeps one eye open, one eye closed. So to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we are Osam Etzon Hashem Mokam, and He loves us, and He looks at us with both eyes. We're not Osam Etzon Hashem Mokam, but he doesn't close both eyes. It's not Hester upon Him that He doesn't look at us. He keeps one eye open. He still looks at us with one eye. From the corner of his one eye, he still looks. So the Gemara is assuming that the Shalosh Parmashani Yirah Kol Zechurcha is when it's Osam Etzon Hashem Mokam, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us and is looking with both eyes. So just like, not to be taken literally, but figuratively speaking, the Rebbeinu Shalom looks at us with both eyes. So literally, we should look at the Rebbeinu Shalom with both eyes. What do you mean we're coming to look at the Rebbeinu Shalom with both eyes? There's nothing to see. The Rebbeinu Shalom is invisible. He's a kel mistater. So what does it mean that we come to see with both eyes? We mentioned that the son, there was a chassidish, there was an ungarish tzaddik, Rab Hillel Kalamayer. And he had a son-in-law, Rab Akiva Schlesinger, who moved to Eretz Yisrael. And he was the one who blew shofar from a Rosh Hashanah fell on Shabbos, and he had a lot of original ideas. He was an original thinker. So one of his ideas was that there's a mitzvah today on Shalosh Regalim to go visit the Mokam HaMikdash and to see. To look at the floor of the Beis HaMikdash. There's nothing to see. What are you going to see? The Arabs playing soccer. There's nothing to see there on the floor. So this is, he thought, there's a new din. Yireh yireh. You have to, and he wore glasses. He had a shayla, yayitza, if you look through the glasses on this new mitzvah that he just invented, yesh mayayin, he had a suffix, whether yayitza, if you don't take off your glasses. So he said, you should go to Chum, you should take off your glasses to fulfill this mitzvah. Because what are you going to see? You won't be anything. So what are you supposed to see? What are you supposed to see? Just see the Azara. What are you supposed to see? So that's the Stechemed. The Stechemed was a Sephardi who was born in Eretz Yisrael, and he had a Rabbonis in Russia. And he didn't, the Minhogim, and he had a Rabbonis in Russia in a strange place where they had very unusual Minhogim. They had different Minhogim there. So he didn't know whether they knew what they were doing or not. So he used to correspond, he was a big writer, he used to correspond with all the Rabbonis, Sephardim and Ashkenazim, to try to figure out what's going on. He didn't know whether it was coming or going. And then finally, after a couple of years of Rabbonis, he retired back. He moved back to Israel, had a yeshiva in Hebron, and he's buried in a cemetery in Hebron, the Stechemet. So the Stechemet used to correspond with the Netziv, Rab Shlomo Levilna, the Dain of Vilna. So this is one of the letters that he prints for Rab Shlomo Levilna. That Rab Shlomo Levilna says, where did the rabbis get the idea the Gemara has in the last daf in Chagiga? He used to roll up the parochas to show the people the kruvim were hugging each other. This is Bizman Bayish Rishon. He used to roll up the parochas. I think Mara said, how can they roll up the parochas? The parochas was from stones. The parochas in the Bayisheni was a curtain, but there were no kruvim in the Bayisheni. The Bayish Rishon, the parochas was stones. Mara says, yeah, it was stones, but there was a window which had a curtain. So he used to roll up the curtain on that little window, and the people would be able to see the kruvim hugging each other. Ruchi baskim lefne'amokim, look, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves the Jewish people, that the crew are hugging each other, like a husband hugs his wife, ki ma'arish v'lid yosef, the pasuk in Divrei Hayom. So that was one thing that they did. Then they used to pick up the shulchan, like this, and used to squeeze the lechem upon him to show the people it's sitting on the shulchan the whole week and it's fresh. Lechem cham ki yom yilokcha. It was still warm, like the day that they took it off of the out of the oven. So the Yisraelim had to stand far away. The Yisraelim couldn't come into the inside of the Azara. They can only come the first 11 Amis in the Azara, and this is inside the Heichal. The Shulchan with the Lechem Aponim is inside the Heichal. So they would pick up the Shulchan and show them from a distance the way they're squeezing the Lechem Aponim that it was fresh. So Rav Shlomo Zalman asked, where did they get this from? To roll up? Where does it say in Tanakh? He's supposed to roll up the Paroches. He's supposed to squeeze the Lechem Aponim. The women squeeze the tomatoes when they go shopping. What are you squeezing the Lechem Aponim for? So he says, it's based on this pasuk, Yira Yeroah. Everybody comes to see the Shekhinah. How can you see the Shekhinah? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is killed Mistata, he doesn't have a body. You can't see him. The answer is, you should show some of the Nisim Tadirim. You should show the fact that the Kruvma hugging each other, that's not an ace. You should show the people who come should see something that represents the Rabbanu Shalom. So you see the Kruvim hugging each other, that represents the Chiba that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for the Knesset Yisrael. And they should show the nest that the lechem upon him is fresh. A week after it was baked, it's still fresh. So that's how the people fulfill the mitzvah of Yireh Yeroah. Yeah, but Bizman Azad, there's no kruvin, there's no lechem upon him, we're going to see. The goyimah that have their shops there, that they're smoking cigarettes in the street. There's nothing to see. And Shai, the whole thing does make sense. It makes sense. When you come into the Azara, the din is riasponim bu Azara. You come into the Azara and you look around. If you're standing outside of the Azara, from the rooftop of the Yeshiva Takotel, and then you look in. So what do you mean you're standing outside of the Azara? So that's not called riasponim bu Azara. This is the Chiddush that he came up with. He thought that this too is included in the mitzvah of Yireh Yeroah. Okay, an interesting one. Maybe Sunday we'll start from Hey Yom Aleph. Chazar from Hey.